Read yourselves in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome, saints online as well. God bless you all. Let's sing 171. It's an F. Sorry, 71.
I know ye pass the blood, and they know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. Oh, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Yes, I know it was the blood, and I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
Let's sing the Lily of the Valley, 93. Thank you, F. If appears to be slightly high. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my story. A lily of the valley, in him my own I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Yes, he in sorrow is my comfort in trouble, is my stay. He tells me every care on him to know. Hallelujah, the lily of the valley. The bright and morning sun is the purest of 10,000 to my soul. All my griefs has taken, and all my sorrows gone. In temptation is my strong and mighty tongue. I am both of him forsaken, and on thy idols stone, on my heart, and now he keeps me by his hand. Oh, thou wilt forsake me, and Satan tempt me so. To Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, it's the Lily of the Valley.
The bright morning star is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He'll never, never leave me, oh yet forsake me. While I give my faith into his blessed will. Take hold of me, have nothing now to give. With his money, my hungry soul shall fill. Oh, then sweeping up to glory, we'll sing his blessed face where rivers of delight shall never roll. Hallelujah, the hill of the valley, the bright and morning star, is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. Let's sing 22. Victory in Jesus. The name blood.
I hear an old story. Our Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I hear about his brawny, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, would become. He sought me, then he bought me, with me. He loved me to him, and all my love is to him. He binds me to victory, give me a blessing flood. I hear about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made them to walk on it and cause the blind to see. And then cry, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought me the victory. Oh yes, oh victory in Jesus, my Savior, for me. He sought me and he bought me with his ring. He loved me for him, and all my love is to him. He punished me to victory, he need a cleansing flow. I hear a man and my soul, he has built for me in glory. And I hear above the streets of gold, he on the crystal sea. I will be angel singing, and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing on a song of victory. Oh, yes, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him and no one. He plunged me to victory, he brought me to the sea.
It sings 666. A flat.
Jai non mi lo shai non mi let the light from thy light shine upon me. Shine Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the light of shine on me. Shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Let the light from the light of shine on my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighter shine on me.
It's on the same page, let's sing 63, it's the same key. It's the old time Holy Spirit and the as the reason people vary, but it's good enough. Oh, just give me that old time. I say, give me that old time. I want that old time. Really, it's enough. Oh, I say, give me that old time. Please give me that old time. I want that old time. And it's good enough. Oh, yes, it will make you stop your lying. It will save you. When you die, it will start the devil's fight, and it's good enough. Oh, yes, give me that old time. Oh, yes, give me that old time bridge. I want that old time bridge. And it's good enough. Oh, I say, give me that old time. Oh, yes, give me that old time. I want old time. And it's good enough. Oh, yes, it's so good. I want your other. For me, let's love my brother, and it makes me strong and calm, and it's good enough. Oh, I say, give me that old time. I say, give me that old time. I want that old time. And it's good enough. Oh, yes, it was good in the very pen. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for our and good enough for me. Oh, yes, give me that old time. Oh, give me that old time. I want that old time religion, and it's good
Saints, welcome to the Bible study once again this evening. We're living in real prophetic times, real times that you never ever thought. So we thought we'd have a look at that a little bit this evening by the grace of God. Let's open our Bibles to Exodus 17. We get our thought from there. Dagi is down on follow. Let's pray for her. Exodus chapter 17. We'll read from verse 8. Sister. Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. But then skip to 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial, Exodus 17, yeah? Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's quite a thought. Let's also read Esther chapter 9, book of Esther chapter 9. Let's read the first six verses. Now the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and officers of the people helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. May the Lord bless his word. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Bless your word. Guide our meditations. Bless your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated, dear saints. God bless you this evening. So we just wanted to have a look at the thought we've been having a look at the book of Esther, just myself. It's a real powerful thing at a time like this to go read the whole book of Esther once again. There's something really, really amazing about how relevant the word is, how relevant the prophetic word is. Just get ourselves to where we're supposed to be there and share the screen and play. So we wanted to have a look at this thought of the mystery of Purim. We know we are, I think it was last night, finished off the Feast of Purim in Israel. Now, the Feast of Purim is Esther's feast. It's to commemorate the great victory that the Lord gave unto his people in the days of Haman, in the days when the people had got in the hearts of Haman and his family, and they decided they were going to destroy all the Jews. And the Lord turned it around, and instead of them destroying the Jews, they got destroyed. And the biggest slaughter was actually in the palace, in the capital city. And it's quite a thing. So the Jews, right up to today, now they celebrate this. So we wanted to speak about the mystery of Purim. The prophet preached on modern events made clear by prophets. And I think it's really, really good to see the prophetic events through the lens of current events as well, because you find there's nothing new under the sun. We're saying it at our family altar last night. There's a Jewish saying that says, he that is wise sees patterns. You know, you see patterns in life. You see, okay, this works like this. There's laws that govern things. And you see one thing leads to another. History repeats itself. There's nothing new under the sun. Instead of seeing things as just a big jumble, a big confusion, life is really, really powerful when you can see the patterns, when you can see things repeating. What a man sows, that shall he reap. The prophetic patterns. Each generation gets visited. And here we see in Exodus chapter 17, the Amalekites, the first time we find them, they come trying to destroy Israel. And it's a pattern that's going to repeat itself continually, because when the Lord now says to Moses that you need to blot out the name of Amalek, it's an important one. When the Lord says you need to blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven, the Lord actually says, God, send Joshua to fight. You pray on the mountain. I'll give you the power. I'm Jehovah Nissi. Gather under my banner. You will prevail over the enemy. And then he said it in Exodus 17, verse 16. It says, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. That's quite a thing. The Lord has said that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So we're not going to be surprised to find in our generation, there's going to be a repeat once again. We're going to find people anointed with a certain spirit wanting to destroy the Jews once again, and the Lord waging warfare against them. You know, that's current events. You can go and have a look on your news feed today, and you'll see it's simply the next chapter in an ancient, ancient battle that started in the beginning. There's nothing really new that's taking place yet. But the Lord said he would have war with Amalek. So it means this is where the name Jehovah Nissi came from. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner. So you would raise up a standard in battle. Then the king, he would go forth with his troops into battle. They'd go under a banner or a pendant, whichever the tribe or emblem was. And then you would gather yourselves together around the banner. The Lord would raise the standard, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. He gathers his people together under the raised standard, and he is their banner. You gather together with him. And if you're scattered in the battlefield, you're not exactly sure what to do, you'd blow the trumpet, and the people would look. The soldiers would gather to their banner once again. That's how the Lord sounds his gospel trumpet in every age to gather his people under the banner. You know, and you now gathered under the shield of Jehovah Nissi. You can go forth in battle now. So that's what was happening here. And we see now America, we see Israel, we see Iran. We see a real, real battle going on here. It's an extremely one-sided battle. You know, despite all the boasts that were taking place before, all the threats that have taken place, all the fear that our timid, poor little Western governments feel towards Iran through the years, you find the Lord is still Jehovah Nissi. You know, he's never changed. The Lord will always defend the cause of his people. You know, one with the Lord, they say, is a majority, and it's the truth. It's not the multitude. The Lord says, not by power, it's not by might, it's by my spirit. And many times, he says it in scripture, he says, the battle is the Lord's. You shall not really have to fight in this fight. And many times the Lord does that. But you see a situation taking place now that's all over the news. It's disrupting everything. If you've looked at the price of heating oil, that we bought some a few weeks back, it was 194 pounds for 300 liters. It's now 319 yes. today, and it's still going up. And if you get to the petrol station, it's starting to go up, and it's not going to stop for a while. You know, so it has these things and implications, repercussions. There's just really something taking place, and you can feel it taking place. And where did this begin, and how does it relate to Israel, America, and Iran? How did these three come together in this great battle? So we need to go right the way back, because the first time we find the Amalekites is in Exodus 17, when they come and fight against Israel, and they come as cowards. They come to kill the young and the weak and the sick, so the old, the weak, the sickly, that were straggling behind in the Exodus. And they would come with their terrorism, and they would come and, you know, kill the innocent and so forth. That's always been the spirit of Amalek. That is what it was called back then. We might have different names for it now. But the spirit of Amalek is actually the spirit of anti-Semitism. Mm. That is what it is. If you want to put in message terms, go under the trumpets, it's devils of persecution. And they released in the last age in a huge portion when those trumpets, under the trumpets, the great bottomless pit is opened, and there comes out 200 million devils of persecution. And the prophet says they got into the nations of the world. They got into Hitler and all this kind. And we'll see that that's nothing but the spirit of Amalek once again. And it goes. People die, but spirits never die. It's the same old spirit. And the Lord says, I will have warfare against that spirit of Amalek from generation to generation. So we should expect it. So this is to do with Israel. It's to the realm of politics. That's the trumpets. You know, under the seals, that's the Gentiles. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities. We are under the seals of redemption. There's the church, the bride. But natural Israel comes under the trumpets. Trumpets always declare war. When the trumpets sound, Israel is supposed to gather themselves together in Jerusalem. And all of these things, what they're doing Like, I wouldn't want to be a Jew living in London these days with the government that we've got and with the mayor of London. Yeah. It makes you want to go home. And that's the whole purpose of these things, is the Lord is blowing the trumpet because he wants his people to go back to where they're supposed to be. He wants his people to go back to the promised land, because God can only bless natural Israel in their land. Once they're out of the land, they're backslid. They're still under the covenant, but they don't receive the blessings of the covenant. It's like us when we're out of the word. The prophet says the message of the hour is our inheritance. That's our boundaries and our parameters. When we go straying out of the word, you can't expect the Lord to bless you. You're still a child of God. But the next time you find, after this first attack, when the Lord says, I will wage war against Amalek from generation to generation, the next time you find the Amalekites is in the book of Samuel, when you find Saul and Agag. The Lord says to King Saul, he says, go and smite Agag. Go and destroy the man, woman, child, beast. Leave nothing, because he knew how powerful this influence is. Yeah. You can see that in the world today. Look how powerful this spirit of anti-Semitism against the Jews, which is just the flip side of persecution against the Christians. It's the same spirit. It's the same demons of persecution, that same spirit that's been released upon the nations of the earth. And it's magnified in our age because of social media. Now, TikTok is notorious for anti-Semitism and anti-Christian sentiment. I mean, it's so much against what we believe. You'll find a little bit of things to stand for truth, and just a huge flood, just of abomination now, so anointed. And it's so influential, the spirit. It's a slippery spirit, but it has a lot of influence. And you find the vast majority of the people of the earth. I know the Donald Trump used to say, low information people. You don't want to be a low information person, that you make decisions based on things that are not a sure foundation. You want to make sure that if you're weighing up again who's right and who's wrong, that you bring it to a solid foundation. And the only true solid foundation is the basis of the word. Because he who blesses what God has cursed is going to have a lot of problems inside of their life. Mm-hmm. And he who curses what God has blessed, you're going to have a lot of problems as well. So you want to be in tune with the scripture.
Amen.
And this spirit here is so all-pervasive. And it comes in every age. You know, the spirit of Antichrist. Did not John say many Antichrists have gone into the world? There's the final Antichrist, yes, but there's many forerunners of that. And the Antichrist spirit is in politics. It's the red horse. It's in religion. It's the white horse. It's in demonology, demon parts, the black horse. In the end time, it all comes together. So it becomes a very, very slippery age. It's very easy to be deceived in this age. It's very easy to be out there with people putting up a flag out there, not realizing that what you're doing is almost spitting in the face of God's word. Now that you're standing for the very principles that God has cursed all through the ages. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't want to be found on that side of things. No, you don't. And that's how we need the mind of Christ.
Amen.
We need the divine frequency. That we need to be put into that. Sorry, man.
Slides, I just not something.
Okay, if you want to just check there. We're just on one slide at the moment. Good stuff, I haven't gone too far. So, share that. Okay, if you want to check out that. But we find it's coming down through history. That's what the Lord said to King Saul. Don't compromise with this.
Mm-hmm.
You just destroy this completely, because a little bit of this leaven's going to leaven the whole lump. And King Saul, Agag, says, was of the Amalekites. He was the king of the Amalekites. He was one of the offshoots of the Amalekites. So this was now the Amalekites once again. And the Lord raised up King Saul of the tribe of Benjamin and gave him a commission to deal with the problem. And he didn't deal with the problem. He decided to have incomplete obedience, compromised, appeased that spirit, brought the king back alive, brought back all of the flocks, and Samuel had to come and say, and Saul came out and met Samuel and says, I've done exactly what the Lord said. And then Samuel said, what then does this mean? There's bleating of sheep in mine ears. And he says, I brought that for sacrifice for the Lord. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. And as Samuel gets anointed, takes the sword and goes and slays the king himself. But it was too late. Some of the Agagites had got away. Some of the Malachites had got away. Yeah, and so it looked like they'd won a victory, but they hadn't. This was going to come back and haunt them once again. So you find that in the days of King Saul. The next time we find it now is in the book of Esther, which where we read. Now we find Haman, he rises on the scene. Haman, oh, he was an Agagite, it tells us in the book of Esther. So he's from the Amalekites. And he's got one desire inside of his heart. He doesn't really want political power, money, and those things for, those don't really satisfy him so much. He's got all of those things. He has one all-consuming desire, one passion, and that is to absolutely annihilate the Jews, man, woman, and child. That's what he lives for. Yeah, I was watching a reporter the other day who went to interview this Ramanei, this guy that they just bombed there in his bunker, the Ayatollah. And they went to interview him, this Western reporter. The guy was making his tea, the Ayatollah, and he asked him, what is your overriding ambition for life? He didn't answer. Continued stirring his tea. So, okay, what is it, sir, that when you wake up in the morning, the first thought you have? He says, to both your questions is the same thing, the destruction of Israel. I mean, that's all a man lives for. That is the spirit of Amalek on it.
Yes.
That is an embodiment of the Amalekite spirit once again. That all they want to do is destroy the people of God. That's all they want. That's a very powerful spirit there. It's really Satan incarnate just that's about right. That kind of a spirit, because that's all Satan wants. He just wants to destroy what God has blessed. Anything that God has set his attention upon, he wants to destroy it. Yeah, that is really, really what the spirit is about. And that is what Haman, go and read the book of Esther. He just had one desire, to destroy the Jews, man, woman, child, in the most cruel way that he could possibly do it. Yeah. And that spirit hasn't died. When you find these foolish people, deceive people out on the streets, or even on Belfast, London and that, with all their Palestinian flags, cursing Israel and that, they don't realize the influence that's upon them. They don't realize that it's exactly that same spirit. You know, when they're chanting there, from the river to the sea, Palestine shall be free. You know, they're saying right from the Jordan to the Mediterranean, wipe all the Jews out. That's basically what they say. They don't realize they're saying exactly the same as Exodus 17. They're saying exactly the same as Haman. The same influence and anointing is upon them. And it's a dangerous one. And that comes against the bride. Right at the end, the prophet says, it's coming a squeeze and throws you down and so forth. You'll find that that spirit is not one that you'd really want to play around with, but God is faithful to his people. And we'll find that. We'll get a little bit further into that in the book of Esther. And the Lord has to raise up now, because whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, God's going to raise a standard. And God raises a standard spiritually, but he needs to use vessels as well. And the book of Esther shows us the principle that there's people that are always born for such a time as this.
Amen.
We're speaking about predestination last night. God predestinates. He has to predestinate his people throughout each generation to get his work done. Those are that called according to his purpose. You know, so he, when he sowed his seed from before the foundation, we had to predestine. There were certain people he put in certain times because they had a destiny to fulfill at that time.
Amen.
And it can be unlikely people many times. You know, in the political realm especially, we'll see God can predestinate people to be there because of his love for his children, his love for his children, Israel. He can put people in the political realm. He can put people in the financial realm because God is Jehovah Jireh. And he's going to look after the needs of his people. He sees the need before it comes, and he's always going to provide that need. That's why the children of God will never be embarrassed. They'll never be ashamed. It doesn't matter how much the enemy comes in like a flood. It doesn't matter how prevalent that spirit becomes. You know, if you find the enemy coming like a flood, God's going to raise up a higher standard. Hallelujah. Than that. God's going to give people anointing, revelation, authority to overcome the conditions of their day, because that's what you're appointed to. Yeah, that's exactly what the bride is in every age. So we'll find it with Haman when we get on to that. But let's trace it from there. So when we find Amalek, if you go and read, you'll have to trace a little bit if you want to ever do your research. But the Amalekites went into the realm that's now Iran. That's where they moved on to. And from there, they say they moved on into Germany. Some of them went from there into Germany. We'll see that. You know, that kind of a pattern, if you go and read history, especially the ancient Jewish guys who did all the research, they show this is where things went, basically. And a lot of it ended up in Germany. You know, you can actually prove that as we get into it, is that Iran was called Persia until 1935. Then they changed the name. The Shah of Iran changed it from Persia to Iran. The name Iran means Aryan, the Aryan people. And what was Hitler's great thing? He was showing the supremacy of the Aryan race. You know, so Iran is Aryan. That's actually what the word is. You know, so you find that Hitler now, I'll show you on this when we get on to a little bit later on, but even the swastika was an ancient Persian symbol. It never came from Hitler. Hitler went back and said, we the Aryan people, and took the ancient symbols of Persia and used them now as the symbols for Nazi Germany. So there's nothing new under the sun. You know, it's just one generation. There's a repeat performance to the next generation. But what I wanted just to hit a little bit here is, when we're speaking about Germany and Iran, we're speaking about the current things that are taking place now. The one thing that you don't want to do with this spirit is to compromise with it.
Mm-hmm.
Politicians are notorious appeasers because all they're worried about is votes. They're not worried about principle anymore. The prophet says, where are the Patrick Henrys who would say, give me liberty or give me death? He said, America was started by great men like Washington, people like Abraham Lincoln, but look at what you get now. And he said, look at, you were speaking the days of Kennedy and that. And look at Biden and people like this. I mean, what kind of leaders are these? There's no principle anymore. There's no point living if you don't live for principle. So the most important thing we should have in our life is principles that we stand for. And no matter how much you have to sacrifice, you're willing to sacrifice to stand for those principles. Because if you've got character, you'll have principles. And those principles are really important to you. You won't compromise your principles unless something is revealed to you to show you your principles are misguided. But if you believe in your principles and you people of a person of character, you're going to stand whether you're popular, whether you're not, what people say, that doesn't matter to you because you're a person of principle. But in politics now, it's so hard to find people of principle. As I put there, there's Neville Chamberlain, 1938, coming back. Because the next time we find the spirit of Amalek, we find it in Nazi Germany. We find it with Hitler. Hitler was now the embodiment of the Amalekite spirit. Here was the next man who wrote, there were others, we won't get onto them, but the main ones, Hitler rose up and he just had one all-consuming passion, one vision and purpose in his life that he wanted, was he was going to destroy the Jews, men, women, and children in as cruel a way as he could. That's the spirit of Amalek. The Lord will have war against Amalek in every generation. You find the same characteristics coming again. And during the 1930s, when Hitler just got into power, there was only one man who stood at that time, Winston Churchill, who realized this is the spirit of Amalek. This is not something to compromise with. When all the rest of those politicians were saying, let's try to make a deal with him and this, and then he went and he took the parts of Czechoslovakia. Okay, let him have that. As long as you don't take any more land, it's okay. Yeah, and then finally Chamberlain went across, flew across, and he came back and he waved his piece of paper that meant nothing. And he said, it's peace in our time. And everybody said, yay, you know, he's popular now. And Germany went and invaded Poland and did all the stuff that was going to do anyhow. You can't appease the spirit. You can't. You cannot compromise with the spirit.
That's right.
Now, you've got to resist the spirit. You've got to wage warfare from generation to generation. You know, it's like the spirit of criticism. I remember one person, one brother once told me, you can never reason with the spirit of criticism. It'll just move on to the next thing. You'll answer it. Yeah, we'll just find something else. It's a spirit. That is what it is. It's not flesh and blood you're wrestling against. There's a spirit behind people. And when people get this spirit on it, the spirit of Amalek, the spirit now of hatred and of anti-Semitism and you know, against Christ and Christianity, which anointed people, right? The Catholic Church was anointed with it in the Dark Ages. the Inquisitions and all of these kind of things. You can't compromise with it. That's how Luther went and nailed things on the door and stood and was ready to die. People gave, shed their blood. Because you can't compromise with this spirit here. And Churchill was a man. That's a very good film. If ever you want to watch it, it's called Walking with Destiny. It goes to show how Churchill was a man who knew he was a man of destiny. Winston Churchill was born in London. He was born in a Jewish neighborhood. So that's why he loved the Jews from when he was young. And he had such a good influence from the Jews. His grandmother was a Pentecostal woman. Yeah, she had a real gift of prophecy. And she prophesied over Winston Churchill and said, one day, look, Britain's going to be in trouble and God is going to make you prime minister. And even his friends in school, if you watch it, they all said that. They said, yes, when he was at school, we used to ask him, what are you going to do, Winston, when you leave school? He says, one day Britain's going to be in trouble and I'm going to be prime minister. I'm going to save my country. He knew there was a destiny. And God always has people in every age. And it's like I say, unusual people sometimes. That he needs people in the political realm as much as he needs people in the Christian realm for his people. That he needs his people to be covered. He needs a Cyrus on the throne sometimes to help out his people. He says, Cyrus, you're my anointed, though you don't know me. That's what he says in the book of Isaiah. No, so he can put people in positions because he needs them to be predestined. They've got a destiny. They've got a purpose. And Churchill, that's all through the 1930s. He cried out. He was the only voice crying from the wilderness against Hitler. And all the rest of the Western nations wanted a compromise. It's like now. It's exactly the same thing now. Things don't change. You know, so you find it's very hard to find people of principle. Yeah, and the problem is with people of principle, they're not perfect people, especially in the political realm. Churchill used to smoke his cigars and drink his whiskey and all that. But no person can doubt that God put that man on the scene for such a time as that.
Amen.
And he was. Chamberlain now, when Germany invades Poland, 1939, September, he realizes he loses all the support. The people say, there's only one man who told us the truth this last 10 years. That's Churchill. That's how they put Churchill in. Those political guys, whoever party he was, I don't know if he was a conservative, whatever, they didn't want to put Churchill there. They wanted to put, I think his name was Halifax, or some Lord Halifax, who was a real appeaser. He wanted to make terms with Germany. And there was Churchill, and he was a no conference. And the people said, that's what we need. This man told us the truth from the beginning. He warned us about this. When all the rest of the people now just wanted to say, all is well and all this kind of stuff. And that's how they put Churchill in. And the very day Churchill got in power to show it was predestined was the day that in Bletchley Park they cracked the German Enigma code. That very day. To show that the resources he needed, the intelligence he needed, was now given to him exactly when the right man got there. And he called it the goose that lays the golden egg. And it just kept on laying there because they cracked all of the codes of the Germans and knew exactly what the Germans were going to do. Otherwise, it was going to be hard for them to win the war. So God predestines people like that. He was a man of destiny, walking with destiny. Now, how disappointing. That's why President Trump, he was 100% right yesterday, if you watched, when he was speaking about our current Neville Chamberlain, who's in charge of our country now. And he said, we're not dealing with Winston Churchill here.
Yes.
Because here's the spirit of Amalek rising up. Here's madmen with their mad Islamic ideology, cheating and lying and deceiving to make nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles that they can reach Europe, destroy Israel, reach America in the end. Proven to be deceptive and liars. They kicked out all the nuclear inspectors, which they weren't supposed to do in these years gone by. Wow. And what happens? Some people start standing up to say, hey, this has got to stop. We can't allow this mad regime to get these weapons of destruction like
Amen.
This.
That's right.
And so America now teams up with Israel. Let's get the job done. And Britain says you can't use our air base.
That's right.
What? That's why Trump had every right yesterday to say, I'm not happy with the United Kingdom. He says, I love it. My grandmother came from there. He says, but this guy here, this ain't a Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill was a man of principle. He could see what the times demanded and what needed to be done. He could sense the big challenge of it. Winston Churchill faced head, what's the word that you'd say? He faced up to the spirit of Amalek in his generation,
right.
In Hitler, in the Nazis. He faced up to it and he was willing to do everything to destroy it because he knew this one you can't compromise.
No.
You can't compromise with this. This is what the Lord said to Saul in the beginning. You've got to destroy this influence.
That's right.
You can't play with this. You can't negotiate with it. And so you see it in the paper today. PM has no church or says Trump has tensions rise. And he's 100% right. Because right now, think of this. This really got me yesterday when I saw it. I said, look, last night was Purim. It's Esther's feast. It's the feast when you celebrate with those that fight against the Amalekites. Last night was the end of Ramadan. Yeah. And there's a lot of good Muslims. I had a very good friend Muslim when I was at school, Muhammad Kelpie. He was a very nice guy. He was a lot of it. But a serious portion of Muslims have also got that anointing of Amalek on them. All they want is the destruction of the Jews. Yeah. So last night there's two feasts. There's Esther's feast on one side, which is where the people that are uniting against Amalek are, and there's Amalek's feast. Okay? So for the first time in history, the UK's House of Commons hosts the Ramadan feast. On the very night in Israel when they're having Esther's feast, at the House of Commons in London, they have the big gathering for the Amalekites. And where does our Chamberlain decide to go? What side of the fence does he decide to go to? There he is. He joins them at the Ramadan feast. And he gets there, and it was a disgraceful speech. He gets up there and he says, please don't hate us. To them.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't hate us. We support you with Gaza. We support you with Palestine. And we will have nothing to do with what's happening in Israel.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't watch his speech last night. That's where I got that from. I said, what? And then Trump came and said, we're not dealing with Churchill yet. And I said, a truer statement has never been said.
Amen.
You found on exactly the wrong side of history. Can you see what a disgrace that was? Now, we've got nothing against Muslims. There's some very nice Muslims. There's nice Hindus. I had a very good Hindu friend when I was in school. But that spirit of Amalek has found a very big breeding ground. It's been welcomed in certain sections more than others in the world.
Yes.
And one of the big sections is in radical Islam. Radical Islam is nothing but the spirit of Amalek.
That's right.
It just exists to destroy the Jews. That's all it wants to do. Not in a nice way. If it can torture them, what did October the 7th teach us? That was the spirit of Amalek. And the Lord says, I will make war against Amalek from generation to generation. So when you find the leadership of your country now, yeesh. I said, whoa, 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 for this. Look at the prophet said. 1956, 57, when America looked like it was going to side with the Arabs against Israel in the 1956 war. He said, look what she's doing now, America. You see it in the governmental affairs. They're trying to go right over and hook up with the Arabs. Don't you know God's word said, ever who curses Israel will be cursed, certainly. He says, I stand with Israel.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. There can be no straddling the fence on these kind of issues.
Amen.
This is black and white. This is right and wrong. If we're Christians and believe the word of God, what kind of Christianity is it where you can be against Israel?
No.
What kind of Bible do people read? Oh my what goodness. Kind of principles do people follow? No, mm. Oh, the trumpet needs to give a certain sound. Others people don't know how to prepare themselves for battle. And when you find it, like he says, in the governmental, look, he says, you see it in the governmental affairs, they're trying to hook up with the Arabs. He says, they are doing the wrong thing. Sure they are, brother. Look at every nation that turned against the Jew. They sunk.
That's the truth.
Because these are never failing principles. You cannot allow that spirit of Amalek to come in your land and expect your land is going to be blessed. You cannot, as a government, bow down to such things as that. Wow, saints, when I saw that yesterday, I just went cold. I said, yish. Hey, where's the Churchills of today? That's what the problem. Where are the men of principle today that'll stand? You know, the problem is that it's this woke agenda. I put this one out yesterday from First Chronicles, the children of Issachar, men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Speaking of the mighty men in the days of David, among the men of Issachar, they were mighty men. Why were they mighty? Because they understood the times. They knew what the times demanded. They knew what needs to be done. They knew the stand that needed to be taken. He says to know what Israel ought to do. And there are men of Issachar there. Yeah, there are people of principle there. Like I say, Churchill smoked his cigars. He drank his whiskey. But he, in his heart, he knew he had a destiny. Once he was walking out in London during the Blitz when all the bombs were coming down, he's supposed to be in the bunker there at the whatever, you know, where he was living. And he goes out to walk. He used to like to go and walk. And he goes out with his bodyguard, and it was Bertie somebody. And they interview his bodyguard on that phone. And he asks, and a bomb falls on the next street. Boom, those big German bombs. And the bodyguard says, Mr. Churchill, we need to get you back down to safety in the bunkers. And Winston Churchill said to him, says, Bertie, you're not the only one looking after me. He says, I'm immortal until my job is done. He knew. He was a man of destiny. He had his failings as a man. Like these men have their failings as men. Like you and I have our failings as people. But these are people that understand the times. They know what it is to be caught on the right side of history.
Amen.
They know. They're not there trying to win Nobel Peace Prizes and you know, these big awards from the New York Times and stuff, because those media outlets are very sympathetic to the spirit of Amalek. They support it. That's why one day when they start focusing on you and focusing on me, you already see what they stand for. They're not genuine. They're not seekers of truth. They have an agenda. It's a latter-day end-time agenda, and they are anointed to influence people according to that agenda. And that agenda is not a Christian agenda. It doesn't support Israel. It doesn't support Scripture. It doesn't support the principles of the Word. But I'm so glad to see that God still has people that'll stand for principle, like Churchill did. We need to stand for that. Let's have a look at Hitler in Germany. So Chamberlain now, he compromises. Hitler was born on 19 Nisan. That's the Jewish date. He was born the 20th of April, 1889. And the Jews all pointed that out about Hitler. They said, those rabbis, if you go and read, the 19th of Nisan was the first time in all history when someone tried to destroy the entire nation of Israel. It was when Pharaoh came against Israel at the Red Sea to destroy completely. And that's the day Hitler was born. And all of the Jews said, that is a notable sign. Some people are born for another kind of destiny as well. Look what Hitler said in 1922. When Hitler was asked what he intended doing if he ever had full freedom of action against the Jews, his response was, if I'm ever really in power, the destruction of the Jews will be my first and most important job. As soon as I have power, I shall have gallows after gallows erected. For example, in Munich on the Marienplatz, as many of them as traffic allows, then the Jews will be hanged one after another. Now, where do you find that in the Bible?
Simon.
In the book of Esther. When Haman says, I'm going to make a gallows and I'm going to hang Mordecai. Can you see? It's the same spirit.
Amen.
Spirits die. Spirits never die. People die. but the Spirit visits from generation to generation. You find these kinds of people. Okay, let's have a look again, just to show Hitler and the Book of Esther once again. If you remember, once Brother George Martin spoke of it at our church, speaking about Hitler's 10 sons. Not physicals, but Hitler had his main generals, and they were anointed with the same spirit as in Goebbels and all those kind of guys. You know, they had real, real fun, 100% Amalekite kind of people. And at the end of the war, when Hitler dies his strange death, the prophet saw it in the vision, remember? When he saw the Second World War and he saw Hitler having a strange death, when he saw the seven visions before the coming of the Lord, it was a very prophetic something taking place with that man. The rise of Hitler, the rise of Mussolini, and then communism coming on the scene. These were end-time events. But Hitler had these main generals. So after the war, they capture his generals, and they actually had 12 more. 12 of them were tried at Nuremberg. One of them had fled. I can't remember his name. They could never catch him. But there were 11 now going to be sentenced. And on the night before the sentencing, Goering took poison in his cell and killed himself. And that left 10. So there were 10 generals now that stood before the tribunal at Nuremberg, the war trials, and they were found guilty. It says in the newspaper, New York Times, that time, Goering ends life by poison. 10 others hanged. Now, they were military men. They were supposed to be put to death by firing squad. And they even asked at the trial to say, please, we'd like to be put to death by, because they were all found guilty of crimes against humanity, what they did to the Jews, what they did to all manners of people. They were sentenced to death. And they were told, no, you can't be shot. You all need to be hanged. Which is an interesting thing. Because if you read your Bible, if you open that channel, Esther chapter 9, it shows us in Esther 9 verse 7, it names the 10 sons of Haman. Verse 7, and Parshandatha, and Diphar, and Asphatha. And it goes down until you get to verse 10. The 10 sons of Haman, the enemy of the Jew, it names them. Now, we'll see it. It's very interesting because they are put to death when the Jews are given authority to rise up against their enemies because Esther's got favor from the king. You find these 10 sons of Haman are put to death. And if you read it, it says they were slain. Esther then goes back to the king and the king says, what else do you want? She says, please, if we could fight again tomorrow, we haven't finished the job. And if we can hang the 10 sons of Haman. Yeah, the Jews pick it up. I'll show you just now what that means. But the point of it is the 10 sons of Hitler, they were hanged. And the 10 sons of Haman, they were hanged. And one of them, Stryker, was the one in Julius Stryker, was one of the most anti-Jew. He studied all the prophetic passages in the Bible. He studied so he could hit against the Jews. He even made a newspaper hitting against the Jews. When he was one of the 10 that was hanged. And it shows you in the newspaper, when he was being taken up to the gallows, his last words were, the Feast of Purim, 1946. That was the last, you can read a little. He said, Purim Fest, 1946. He studied the Bible. He wasn't a believer in any way. He was using it against the Jews. But he realized the Book of Esther was being repeated once again. He knew there's 10 of them. Actually, just the day before, there were 11. But to fulfill, you cannot break your type. The one Goering committed suicide, so there's 10 of them hanged the next day, exactly in line with the Book of Esther.
Amen.
It says, Esther chapter 9, then said Esther, if it please the king, these men have already been slain. Let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree. And let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. And the king says, go ahead. And then the Jews now, if you go and read the ancient Jewish writings, they all say, this is very prophetic. This is strange. Why do you want to hang people that were slain? They've already been slain. Why do you want to hang them? And the Jews say, there is a tomorrow that is now, which is directly tomorrow, and there's a prophetic tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Esther now, she gets in the spirit of prophecy, And she's now prophesying, we need to hang the sons of Haman tomorrow. He said, the Jews will pick it up and say, that wasn't just speaking about then. That was speaking of tomorrow. And the Bible tells us exactly when that tomorrow will be. So this is Esther 5, 7 to 9 in the Hebrew Bible, which is the listing of the 10 sons of Haman. We've just read them there. And in the Hebrew Bible, for some reason, by inspiration, you will see there's certain letters which put Saul, that we put in written, right from the beginning when the Bible was written. And people always used to wonder to say, but why were those letters, those Hebrew letters, put smaller than the others? When you take those letters that have been put there smaller than the others, you will find out they represent numbers. And those numbers represent the year 5707 in the Hebrew calendar, which is 1946. Which is exactly the time that the 10 sons of Haman were hanged in our generation. So hidden in the scripture, the Lord was showing that tomorrow, the sons of Haman are going to be hanged tomorrow. And that tomorrow was shown in the scripture. And the Jews picked it up all through the ages. They said something's going to happen in 5707, which is their calendar, because they don't date it from Christ, which is our 1946. So you can see it's a very prophetic book.
Amen.
It's showing very clear spiritual principles that are visited from generation to generation.
Amen.
Never really changes. Now, the next one who rose up with the spirit of Haman upon him, the spirit of Amalek, was Saddam Hussein. He was the next one. There was other ones that came in the middle. We won't speak about it, like in Russia. But he rose up and he said, he was willing to sacrifice everything for one cause, was to destroy Israel. And he decides he wants to get further oil revenue and that. He invades Kuwait, if anybody remembers that, 1990, I was still at school. He invades Kuwait. America rises up, gets a big coalition. All these Arab nations join Saudi Arabia and that to go liberate Kuwait. America says to Israel, you stay out of this because we've joined up all the Arabs. Israel stays completely out of it. As soon as the war starts, Saddam Hussein sends missiles to Jerusalem. And those days, it was no Iron Dome and no David Sling and all of these defense mechanisms. He sent 40 Scud missiles into Israel. And the miracles that took place, I think only one person died, I think from a heart attack. But it was incredible how God, and America said, leave it, it's not your, but he had one overwhelming desire. This spirit of Amalek is an all-consuming thing. Hitler in his day, when he was using the trains to take the Jews to the death camp, his generals came and said, we need these trains to send food and weapons to the front line. And he was willing to lose the war to kill the Jews. Can you see? Saddam Hussein was the same. Instead of aiming his missiles at the people that are attacking him, he aims them at Jerusalem. And that was a clear, clear indication of the spirit that was on the man. Now, the interesting thing about him, when was he defeated? When did that war come to an end? February the 28th, 1991, which is Purim. Exactly. When Purim came once again, the Lord said, I will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. And people picked it up straight away. They said, there's so many events you can take in history like this. That Purim is God's appointed time for delivering Israel. That's the feast that was celebrated back then. And you find that it's just repeating itself from generation to generation. So let's get on to this Purim. We'll finish with this. To see the things that have taken place. Firstly, there was a blood moon. I'm sure you saw that. The blood moon to Israel always means war. That's what the rabbis always say. It's trouble, it's a war. So that fell. And there were six planets as well. Brother Paul sent that to me, and it was true. There was a serious conjunction in the heavens. The prophet says, everything that happens down there, it's signaling something down there. God shows things in the heavens first before they happen upon the earth. But what happened in this group? Well, first of all, this man who they bombed in the Bible, Haman, The correct pronunciation in Hebrew is Haman. That's how they said Haman. This man, the correct pronunciation is Hamanei. And the Jews all picked it up this week. They said Hamanei. If you put ei on the end of a word in Hebrew, it means to be like. So Hamanei means to be like Haman.
Yeah.
That's what that means in Hebrew. That's what his name is, to be like Haman. And you find he's living according to his name once again. Hitler's name was Adolf, which means a wolf. And he fulfilled his destiny. The prophet says God sent the wolves among the sheep to send them back to the shepherd. They put the wolves out there so that Israel would go back and become a nation once again. You find these people living according to their destiny. But you find Haman, Haman. Now open your Bible and let's just have a look at a few of these characteristics that happen, chapter 9, chapter 8 and chapter 9. Because if you look at what's happening in Purim now, the whole story leading up to chapter 8 is this spirit of Amalek in Haman, he wants to destroy the Jews. So everything is plotting and planning in the governmental realm. All is deception. It's not the Persian people in the book of Esther that hates the Jews. It's not that. It's this influence that comes among them, especially in their leadership. Haman is an Agagite. And he comes and he deceives Ahasuerus. So he deceives the leadership of Persia, of Iran. And now they sign a decree to destroy all the Jews on a certain day. So God, as he always does, he works to reverse that decree. Because no curse shall come upon Israel, the Bible says. No curse can come upon you. It can't. There's nothing. That's what Balaam said. He said, there's no curse that can come upon Israel. When he tried to curse Israel, remember the blessing came out and he blessed. You can't curse what God has blessed. So there's always going to be a reversal of the decree. So Esther goes and she gets favor before the king. And she says it in chapter 8, verse 5. If it please the king, and if I have found favor in your sight, and the thing seems right before the king, and I'll be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which had all the provinces. So she needs authority from the superpower, because Ahasuerus is the superpower. I mean, they're the rulers of the earth at that time. You know, so they need, if they can just get a decree from this king, so they can reverse, then they're going to go and destroy. And all through these years gone by, when Iran was developing its nuclear weapons, deceiving the world, there was Netanyahu. He was in the political wilderness. He had been prime minister years back. He left the politics. People said, when are you going to come back, Bibi? He said, there's nothing for me to come back for. I don't just want power. I don't want those things. There's got to be a cause. And when Iran started now to develop its nuclear thoughts and its plan, if you listen to, if you read Bibi's life story, he says that. He says, something started to burn inside him out. He says, I knew I can't be quiet. They said, and I watched the other politicians and nobody was taken in serious. Nobody was taken serious in this threat. Because here was Amalek rising once again. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, you wait to see God's going to raise a standard. Then he said, I saw nobody rising up. So he says, it became my mission now. He says, that's why I came back into politics. He goes, gets elected again, because God needs certain people on the throne at certain times. Like Trump is there for a purpose now because of the children of Israel.
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely. So he goes to Obama, Netanyahu. Obama hated Netanyahu. And he tries to persuade him, we need to stop this, what's happening in Iran. And Obama wants to have nothing to do with it. Yeah. He just leaves it, gives money to the Iranians and all of that. And Netanyahu is starting to see, no, something's got to change. He can't do it himself. It's like here, like with Esther, he's got to get favor from the throne. He's got to get something to reverse this decree. Netanyahu does everything that he possibly can until Trump rises on the scene. And even if that was the only purpose that God put the man there for, that is a powerful destiny. that God puts a man there because his people need a man like that. They need a man who's not going to worry about what the woke liberal media says and what Hollywood says and all of these kind of things, but a man who sees what the times demand and knows what Israel ought to do. And he gives the go-ahead now, and he says, go ahead. And that's why you find those two men together, they make a powerful team. You look at how the Israeli Air Force and the American Air Force are working now. They say there's never been anything like it in history. That two nations, they said, was even well ahead of Britain and America on D-Day on coordination. They say they just work seamlessly together. Yeah. And they co-equal in the military now. Now, in the book of Esther, who was the man that was the master at intelligence? It was Mordecai. Remember in the early chapters, Mordecai found out about the plot to assassinate the king, and he sent it now to Esther. That's a type.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the greatest intelligence in the world? They showed there on the thing yesterday today how Israel knew where Khomeini and his men were going to be is because they hacked into the traffic cameras in Tehran for the last couple of years. And they were watching everything. And they watched all the government vehicles. They got to know all the number plates of all the top leaders. They knew where they stopped, knew all the bodyguards. They said, we got to know Tehran better than we know Jerusalem. They knew exactly. And they're watching. Then they saw, okay, oh, they're all gathering at this place. That's nice. And they bombed the top 40 of them in one place. Like this, imagine at D-Day in 1944, if Britain and America had have destroyed Hitler and his top 39 generals in the first minute of D-Day. That's what Israel did. They destroyed the complete leadership. Then yesterday now, Iran's not too smart sometimes. They decide, let's elect a new leader. So they gather the candidates together in a certain place, and Israel finds out about it and goes and bombs them while they're voting. Yeah. So that's what Trump was saying. He said, we're trying to find people to deal with after this war's over. But as soon as we decide on, let's speak to this person, we find out the man's not alive anymore. We need to move down the chain of command. But that is like Mordecai. Mordecai was the man who knew what was taking place. He had the intelligence. And Esther, now she gets the favor. And the decree is, now look at the words it uses. We'll just read two more verses and we'll finish. Look at the way the Bible speaks about it at the end of verse 8. Verse 17 of chapter 8, verse 17. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews was upon them.
Mm.
In London yesterday, there goes our BBC, yeah, trying to find something to criticize, and they follow the Persian people, the Iranian people, their flags, they're going into the Jewish neighbor, that's good, and it's going to be a protest. And they find out that they're going to go and rejoice with the Jews. Did you see that? I almost cried when I saw it. They were putting flowers outside of the Persians, a huge crowd of Iranian people in exile. They went into the Jewish neighborhood, went to the embassy, put all the flowers outside, and were saying, thank you, BB. Thank you, Trump, and that. And now the news crew was there, Sky News. And now it's a little bit embarrassing for them because they weren't expecting to be reporting on a story like that. But all over, it's like that. It's not the Persian people.
No.
It's the spirit of Amalek on that leadership there. But the Persian people, like it says there, many of them became believers in the end, under the Jews there. They say that in Iran now, the fastest shrinking religion is Islam. Less than 30% of the people believe in that Shia Islam, which they govern. And the fastest growing religion is Christianity,
Amen.
The underground church. It's exactly according to type. Many of the people believe.
That's
when
right.
They see the power of God, when they see we've been tormented by these tyrants for so long, and here comes a little nation, Israel, like that. Authority given from the throne by Ahasuerus in the day. And to finish off, look at the next chapter just to see the word it uses about their battle. Verse chapter 9, verse 5. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword. I mean, if that's not a summary of what you're seeing taking place there.
Violent.
Oh, smiting all of the enemies with impunity. They took out all the air defense systems. There's nothing to stop them now. They're smiting all of the enemies with a stroke of the sword. And slaughter and destruction. And did what they would unto them that hated them. They did whatever they want to them that hated them. And if that's not a summary of the total dominance that's taking place in this war now, they're doing whatever they want. And the thing is, they've already told the Persian people, stay indoors. When we finish bombing all of these revolutionary guards, bombed all the police stations of the people that have oppressed you, bombed all the leadership, you come out then and you take over your country. You know, so you can really see it's a type. In the Book of Esther, the Persian people rejoiced. Cyrus put Daniel as number two in his kingdom. There was nothing wrong with the Persian people. It was the spirit of Amalek. And once that spirit of Amalek was purged in the Book of Esther, it was a blessed nation once again. And that's exactly what needs to be done. And people have seen it. And in verse 6, where did the battle start? And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. First thing they did, went and killed 500 leaders. They knew that if we just get rid of the leaders, we're going to win the battle. And where did the battle start last Saturday? When the Jews broke their own Sabbath to go and bomb the palace and kill the top 40 Persian people, rulers in one bomb blast. It's exactly the same. Go and read your book of Esther once again. It's very, very powerful.
Man.
Because it's repeat. History repeats itself. You'll find exactly the same patterns coming time and time again. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And you'll see it. That God is anointing those people. God is blessing from the beginning to the end. Because like we said last week, there's still a purpose. There's still a destiny. And God is not going to let the enemy come in. I put the final one there on. What about tomorrow? Where does the spirit of Amalek finish up? Finishes up in the beast. He's the fullness of Amalek.
That's the truth.
Because the first thing that the beast gets in power, because he gets indwelled by Satan, and the church goes up, Satan comes down, indwells the false prophet, becomes the beast. First thing he does in Revelation chapter 12, he goes against the seed of the woman, the Jews. But there's Moses and Elijah protecting that. Then he goes against the foolish virgin. And the final place you find it is where, we saw it last week, Gog and Magog. When Persia's there once again with Russia and the spirit of Amalek upon them, and they're coming to destroy Israel, and Christ has to come and destroy them because they come right down into almost to the gates of Jerusalem. So, yeah, we thank the Lord for a temporary victory here. That it pushes back the darkness and stops the agenda of the enemy, because maybe it was running ahead of the vision. But let's not forget that in the tribulation period, that spirit of Amalek, that's the one that takes control.
Let's then say, let's finish.
Amen.
This is probably just a word of prayer. Oh, Father, as we look unto thee upon this, Lord, oh, we thank you for your goodness. Oh, we thank you for your grace. Oh, we thank you for your protection. Oh, we thank you for your kindness. Father, you said in your word that you should pray for them that are in positions of authority. And we pray, Lord. Father, we just see these decisions that the government is making. And we just see, Lord, the state and condition of the land. And we just ask of you for your grace and your mercy, Father, on behalf of your people, for the sake of your people, that, Lord, you will just intervene and do something in these things, Lord, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Father, to see people bringing a curse upon this land, Father, none of your children could ever rejoice in that.
Mm.
And Lord, as we look down to Ireland and we see that spirit of Amalek so strong upon the government that is there, and the hatred for all the things concerning your children, how we pray for your grace, how we pray for your mercy. And Father, we pray this night that you continue to watch over your people. Thank you that, Father, you never slumber nor sleep. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you for Brother George and his family, for making a way for them, Lord. Brother Gregory and his family going back to check. Father, thank you for these things, Lord. Now, please bless this night. Now, bless your people. Bring us safely home, we pray. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes, she says.
Let's sing 198. It's coming soon. A flat.
He is the closing days of time. My joy, the glorious hope of hope, the sweet, wondrous truths of love. He shall reign in of kings and lords of lords. Hallelujah, he's coming. He is soon, he's coming very soon. With joy, we welcome his return. And we is in vain before. It may be night or noon, but I know it's coming soon. Oh, the signs around here, and oh, obey the local signs. God's faith, God's witness is declared. Gather from me, God's God Savior, draw it down. Hallelujah, he's coming soon. He's coming very soon. With joy. We welcome his return. Oh, it may be dawn, it may be night or noon. I know he's coming soon. Oh, the dead in Christ will meet us now. We is in God, bless none of those shall run. When through the four thrills of this God, we is, we shall come to prevail on pardon. Hallelujah, it's come. It's soon, he's coming very soon. With joy, we welcome his return. Oh, it may be more, it may be night or noon. I know he's coming. Oh, and we would living yet remain. We is God, shall meet our faithful Lord. Oh, this world we cherish not in vain. We is but we come. One of by his prayer, hallelujah, is come. It's soon, it's coming very soon. With joy, we welcome his return. Oh, it may be more, it may be. I told you, he's coming It's true.
God bless you, say us.
I'm not going to.